For KASU, I'm Jonathan Raves. KASU is a station that has had many broadcasting firsts in its 60 years. In this story, we'll look at some of the ways KASU has been the first station in the region, and in some cases in the state, to achieve certain accomplishments. The series started with the mention that KASU is the oldest non-commercial radio station in Arkansas. Notice I said it's not the first non-commercial radio station. It's the oldest. Retired Department Chair of Radio Television and former KASU station manager Richard Carville explains.
The first non-commercial station, they weren't called public stations back then. They were referred to by the FCC as non-commercial stations. The first one that went on the air was KUOA, and as those call letters would indicate, that was the University of Arkansas. But they didn't have the commitment to public broadcasting that Arkansas State had, and they sold that to a buyer who relocated the facility in Siloam Springs, I believe, and operated it as a commercial station. So it was no longer non-commercial. That was the first non-commercial station in Arkansas. KASU is the oldest continuously operating non-commercial station in the state of Arkansas. We predate ATN. We predate the University of Arkansas at Little Rock. We predate all of those.
And Richard Carville. Some of the firsts that KASU can claim include being the first NPR member station in Arkansas. That happened in 1971. Another important first involves severe weather coverage. Today, many radio and television stations do comprehensive coverage when severe weather threatens a region. In 1973, KASU became the first media station in the Jonesboro area to provide severe weather coverage. Memorial Day weekend, 1973. During the overnight hours of May 27th, a series of three tornadoes ripped through South Jonesboro. The twister struck several schools, including Jonesboro High School, part of the Arkansas State University campus, two shopping malls, and many homes. At least 300 people were seriously injured, and three were killed. During that time, many of the radio stations were closed in the overnight hours, and coverage of severe weather was something that was not done. That tornado outbreak changed the way Jonesboro media would approach severe weather. A few weeks later, another tornado outbreak occurred. And Richard Carville remembers that time and how then station manager of KASU, Charles Raspberry, handled the situation.
And the storm woke him up, and he's told me this thought. He said, I thought, well, if I'm going to get blown away, I might as well get blown away down at the radio station helping people. And so he came down to the radio station and signed it on, and people got up during the night and tuned across the radio dial trying to find somebody who was on the air, and nobody else was. And then they'd come over to the lower part of the dial at 91.9, and there was a voice. There was someone who was giving them information about where the storm was and where it was moving and what damage it had caused.
And this is Charles Raspberry.
And in those days, commercial stations were off the air. There weren't as many of them, and they signed off the air. But we came on the air if it was in the middle of the night or whenever. If there were tornado alerts, severe weather headed in our direction, and we stayed on until the threat was passed, and it brought tremendous response from the general public. Now, today, that's not necessary because every station, all the stations are doing that today. They go wall to wall. Well, we were the first, certainly in this area, and one of the first anywhere to do wall to wall weather coverage, severe weather coverage.
His only tools were the Associated Press wire service and whatever they were carrying, and his telephone line that he established with the Memphis National Weather Service, because it was their radar that was looking into this area, and they could give him factual information about what happened. But that, Jonathan, was the genesis of what really became a hallmark of KASU's service to the community, because after that time, every time a severe storm was in or forecast for our area, we began to broadcast information, warnings and watches and radar reports and, you know, everything that would help people, help save lives.
And that's Richard Carville. The coverage of severe weather would garner numerous awards and would set the standard for future weather coverage. On Christmas Eve of 1982, Raspberry and Carville began weather coverage as tornadoes would again threaten Jonesboro, and Carville remembers that night.
And fortunately, there was not any damage in Jonesboro. And as a matter of fact, and it was late, it was after midnight, I know, by the time the storms moved through. And Charles Raspberry came on the air and said, well, we believe the storms have passed our area, and we believe they're no longer a threat to the Jonesboro or Craighead County or our listening area. And he added, Santa Claus is going to be able to come after all.
And that's Richard Carville. Other firsts for KASU included it was the first station in the area to receive regular daily programming by satellite. That happened in 1981. Other firsts included it was the first broadcast station in the region to offer an extensive block of blues programming on the weekend. Nothing but the blues on Saturday night. That block is now 9 hours in length as it goes on from 7 p.m. to 4 a.m. That started in 1993. In 1998, it became the first broadcasting station in the area to broadcast regularly scheduled live interviews with U.S. senators and representatives from Arkansas and the region. And in 2013, it became the first station in the state to offer a daily program devoted exclusively to Arkansas's current music scene and to the natural state's musical heritage with a program called Arkansas Roots. That program started in 2013. On the next program, we will wrap up our series on the 60th anniversary of KASU, as we'll do that next time. And for KASU, I'm Jonathan Reeves.